ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल टेक्स्ट नंबर 20 अत्र चोदारन्ति माम् इतिहासं पुरातनम् दूतानां विष्णुयमयो संवादस्तं निबोधमे। ट्रांसलेशन: इन दिस रिगार्ड लर्नड स्कॉलर्स एंड सेंटली पर्सन्स डिस्क्राइब अ वेरी ओल्ड हिस्टोरिकल इंसिडेंट involving a discussion between the order carriers of Lord Vishnu and those of Yamaraj. Please hear of this from me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Puranas or old histories are sometimes neglected by unintelligent men who consider their descriptions mythological. Actually, the descriptions of the Puranas or the old histories of the universe are factual, although not chronological. The Puranas record the chief incidents that have occurred over many millions of years, not only on this planet but also on other planets within the universe. Therefore, all learned and realized Vedic scholars speak with references to the incidents in the Puranas. Sri Rupa Goswami accepts the Puranas to be as important as the Vedas themselves. Therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he quotes the following verse from the Brahma Yamala: श्रुति स्मृति पुराणादि पंचरात्रा विधिं विना ऐकांतिकी हरेर भक्तेर उत्पाते व कल्पते। डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड दैट इग्नोर्स द ऑथराइज्ड वैदिक लिटरेचर्स लाइक द उपनिषद्स पुराणास एंड नारद पंचरात्र इज सिंपली एन अननेसेसरी डिस्टर्बेंस इन सोसाइटी। अ डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्णा मस्ट रेफर नॉट ओनली टू द वेदास बट ऑल्सो टू द पुराणास। वन शुड नॉट फूलिशली कंसिडर द पुराणास मैथोलॉजिकल। If they were mythological, Sukhdev Goswami would not have taken the trouble to recite the old historical incidents concerning the life of Ajamil. Now the history begins as follows. Hare Krishna. So on this auspicious occasion of Pandavanirjala Ekadashi, when we are fasting and feasting on chanting and hearing Krishna's holy names, I would like to seek permission and blessings of all Vaishnavas before we speak today's class. Srila Prabhupada, in Kartik 1972, when he was giving a series of lectures on Nectar of Devotion at Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, in one of the classes, he defined preaching. He said, "A devotee thinks, this is my Krishna. My Krishna is most beautiful, most attractive, most wonderful, and most kind. Therefore, let me talk about this Krishna to everybody and let everybody get the benefit of associating with this Krishna." So when a devotee thinks like this, this is preaching. This was Srila Prabhupada's definition of preaching, that a devotee is always eager to speak about Krishna and give Krishna consciousness to others. And Srila Sukhdev Goswami is following this mood. After describing the creation, subsequent creation, and planetary systems, now the sixth canto is called as Poshana, or how the Lord protects. So here we see very fine example of Lord's protection. Sanatan Goswami says, "Mat nistaraka mat bhagya madananda namostute." Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha, is our deliverer and protector. And this particular narration, which has now begun, of Ajamil Akhyan, now this conversation has sparked off because of the compassionate nature of Parikshit Maharaj. He wants to know how the conditioned and sinful living entities can be saved from hellish existence. And when Sukhdev Goswami gives the solution of Karma Kanda, Parikshit Maharaj says, it is not practical. Because people will continue to commit sin. क्वचित् निवर्तते भद्रात् क्वचित् चरति तत् पुनः प्रायश्चित मतोपार्थं मन्ये कुञ्जर शौचवत्. दिस् इस् लैक् एन् एलिफेण्ट्स् बेदिङ्ग्. एन् एलिफेण्ट् गोस् टु दि लेक्, टेक्स् नैस् बात् फार् अवर्स्, बट् वेन् इट् कम्स् औट् हि अगेन् बेदस् वित् दि मड्. Therefore, people might atone for sins, but they might again commit sins. Then he also speaks about Gyanakanda, which he himself asserts to be impractical. And we heard a few days back Dayaram Prabhu speak. Or Prabhupada says, is quoting Narottam Das Thakur, Gyanakanda, Karmakanda, Sakala, Vishera Bhanda. It is all useless. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami finally gives his verdict. Kachit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti karsneya niharam eva bhaskara. Only hope and solution is pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, which is like the sun. When the sun rises, all darkness is dissipated. Therefore, when the sun of Krishna rises in our heart, then all sinful proclivities vanish. So why devotional service is topmost? Sukadeva Goswami says, because devotional service uproots even the proclivity to commit sin. It is not treating simply the boils on the body, but devotional service goes deeper and cures the blood, the sinful desire. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami in the second canto, before describing the wonderful qualities of Krishna, he says, Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yad ikshanam yad vandanam yat shravanam yad arhanam lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham tasmai subhadrashavase namo nama. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, who is most auspicious, because if we kirtanam, if we glorify Krishna, yat smaranam, if we remember Krishna, yad ikshanam, if we see the beautiful form of Krishna, the deity form, yad vandanam, when we offer wonderful prayers to Krishna, yas shravanam, when we hear about Krishna, yad harahanam, when we worship Krishna, what will happen? Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham. All these sinful reactions, they are dissipated. Lokasya sadyo. Immediately people will experience freedom from sinful reactions. Therefore, Krishna is most auspicious. Tasmai Subhadra Shavase Namo Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that when we practice devotional service, all sins are certain to be freed, provided we don't commit offenses. Namno balad yasya hi papa buddhi. Therefore, we can avoid these offenses only if we come together and always hear about Krishna Katha. Therefore, hearing Krishna Katha and associating with devotees is so important, because we understand the dangers of committing offenses, and also our dormant attraction to Krishna is reawakened in the heart. At this time, somebody might have a question, that why not other paths? Why not Gyanakanda and Karmakanda? Why that can't help us get freedom from sinful reactions? For that, we need to know what exactly is sin. When people ask us, or when we tell people that before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was very sinful. Last 25 years, I came to Krishna consciousness when I was 26. So 25 years of my life was sinful. So there is an implicit assumption when we make such statements that our sinful life is actually only last 25 years. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Anadi karma phale podi bavar navajale. We have been performing sinful activities anadi, from immemorial, beginningless. And what exactly is this sin? Srila Satswarup Maharaj writes that when we break the regulative principles, or our past college frivolities, or whatever activities we have done, this is not actually sin. The real sin is that, he writes, our real sin is we don't love Krishna. And other things are all details. They are offshoots. They naturally follow. Of course, even these things nobody follows nowadays. Like one man, he came to Krishna consciousness when he was 65 years old. He was American bodied, born and brought up in America. And he said, but one thing was there, although I became a devotee after 65, we followed four regulative principles all our life. So the devotee was surprised. He said, that's amazing. In America, and you are not even a devotee. He said, yes, our family followed. He said, that is more amazing that your family followed. How did it happen? How did you do this? He said, it is simple. We were a family of four people, four members. And each one of us followed one regulative principle. That's how we followed all the regulative principles. The point he was, this devotee was making was how it is very difficult. He was, of course, saying in good jest and humor. To explain how in Kali Yuga it is very difficult to follow these regulative principles and lead a sinless life. However, the real sin is this lack of attraction and love for Krishna, which is addressed only by bhakti. Therefore, we might have other spiritual organizations. There are many organizations which emphasize on four regulative principles, which emphasize on leading a clean life. But because they ignore this most important factor of the need to develop love for Krishna, therefore they are not actually helping us get freedom from sinful reactions. I remember before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was going to one spiritual organization. And why I was attracted to that organization? Because I got a pamphlet at home. And that pamphlet read, attend a 5-day seminar, workshop, to discover the most wonderful, beautiful, amazing, lovely, many adjectives were used. Discover this person. And I was wondering who this person will be. And there was dot, 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 dot. And then there was a big font saying, and this special person is you. So when we read that pamphlet, we automatically feel, oh, this seminar workshop is going to talk about me. I am special. I am wonderful. So already we have this disease that I am somebody great. And there are these organizations or these philosophies which help us nourish this kind of feeling. So naturally, a conditioned rebellious soul will be attracted to these philosophies. And when we come to Hare Krishna movement, we are told that the self is most insignificant. Like Kaviraj Goswami says, Jagai madai hoite mui se papishta, puri shera kita hoite mui se lagishta. I am more sinful than Jagai and Madai. Anybody who utters my name will lose all pious credits. Anybody who thinks of me will become sinful. Puri shera kita hoite. I am worse than a worm in the stool. For this kind of consciousness a devotee has, that he is the most insignificant, most fallen. And we say Krishna is the most wonderful, lovely, amazing, beautiful person. So therefore we see Bhakti Yoga and all these other speculative paths like Jnana Kanda, they are exactly opposite. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is wonderful and great and the self is useless, insignificant. Whereas in other paths, Krishna is considered as an ordinary person and the false ego is nourished and a person is made to feel he is great. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the best path because it helps us overcome this disease mentality that I am the enjoyer. Jivera Swarupoye Krishnera Nityadas. Because for so many lifetimes, we have been brainwashed to think that I am special. I am somebody important and significant. Right from childhood, we are nourished in this thought. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we go through the stage of Anartha Nivritti, Krishna is most magnanimous. He actually shows us a mirror. All our false hopes that we have about ourselves are dispelled. And when Krishna shows us that mirror and we realize, I'm not actually all that wonderful. I'm actually sinful, I'm ugly, I'm envious. I have a lot of lust, greed, anger. And that is very painful to accept. So some people refuse to accept. They say, no, 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 I'm not like this. Therefore, these other paths appear attractive because they help us ride on that mental plane. Manoratena sati dhavato bhai. It helps us have that titillating effect that I'm very special. I am very good, feel good philosophy. Therefore, we have to take shelter of Krishna because Krishna will reveal to us that actually our position is we are simply servants of Krishna. When Mukunda and Janaki got initiation in 1966 in San Francisco, and Janaki's sister Joanne, she was liking Prabhupada's lectures and kirtan, but she was not interested in taking initiation. And one day Srila Prabhupada told her, so John, when will you take initiation? And she couldn't say that I don't want to. But she said, but Swamiji, I like to read about different books. I would like to go to India. I would like to go to Himalayan mountains. I would like to go to Tibet. Because these kind of philosophies help us fly and have our own kind of concoctions. So when she said, I want to go to Tibet, Prabhupada looked at her and said, I can take you to a place much higher than Tibet. And when he said that, she felt Prabhupada had completely exposed her of her motivations. And then she surrendered and she took initiation. And she became Yamuna Mataji. So her realization is also this, that it is very easy to get attracted to other paths because our false ego is massaged. We get a feeling that I am very special. Therefore, this is the main reason why our acharyas, they abhor, they condemn any path that falls short of pure devotional service. And this glory of pure devotional service vis-a-vis all other paths is revealed by all our acharyas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the second chapter, Shukdev Goswami, he describes Krishna's beauty in great detail. He explains how Krishna is there in the heart as Paramatma. He is wielding the bow, the gada, shankha, chakra. And then he explains how Snigdha Mala Kunchita Neela Kuntale, how he has beautiful curly blackish hair tinged with blue. And he has Prasanna Vaktram Nalinayate Kshanam, how his eyes are beautiful. Bhrubanga Sam Suchita Bhur Anugraham, how he has curved eyebrows and is bestowing extensive benedictions on everyone. So like this, Sukhdev Goswami is describing Krishna's beauty in great detail. And after describing all this beauty of Krishna, he gives his verdict. He then says, compared to meditating and remembering this beautiful form of Krishna, what is the position of other paths? Like speculation. He says, Parampadam Vaishnavamamanantita Yanneti neti atadutsis rikshava Visrijya dauratmayamananya saurada Rudo paguyara padam pade pade. A devotee, because Rudo paguyara padam pade pade, in his heart, he is constantly remembering every moment Krishna and is embracing Krishna's lotus feet. Therefore, Parampadam Vaishnavam, only a devotee is eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Because he rejects Yan Neti Neti Atad Utsis Rikshava. He rejects the path of Neti Neti. This is not truth. This is not truth. And because he rejects this path and accepts Krishna, what happens? Visrijya Dauratmaya Mananya Saurada. He is free from all Dauratmya. Dauratmya comes from Duratma. Means all perplexities, confusion, all anxieties, he becomes free. Ananya Saurada. And constantly he experiences the taste of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, only devotees know the Supreme Truth. And this is the first point, or this is the first glory of devotional service. That is, it frees us from all entanglements and all anxieties. And the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that if we don't practice devotional service, we will always have perplexities, entanglements. And it is not just non-devotees and atheistic people who have perplexities and who are miserable. Prabhupada says even those classes who pose themselves as devotees, but at heart they don't remember Krishna. They are absorbed with self. And he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who calls such people as Duratma. Prabhupada translates Duratma as crooked soul. One is only thinking about himself always. So he gives two solutions. Prabhupada gives two solutions. First is that we should not waste our time in speculation. Simply remember Krishna. And second, be practical and render faithful devotional service. Prabhupada says a devotee is so faithful that not only he engages himself in devotional service, but he engages everything he has and everybody he knows in the service of Krishna. Therefore, for us practicing devotees, this is most practical. Because we are all struggling with so many anxieties also. So much confusion, misunderstanding, communication gaps, worries, petty things which trouble us. So Prabhupada's solution and Sukadeva Goswami's solution is We simply have to increase our Krishna consciousness. So to the extent we increase our Krishna consciousness and render service, to that extent we become free from entanglements and perplexities. One time one devotee wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada Ekadashi, today is Pandurujala Ekadashi, it's interesting. So this devotee wrote a letter regarding Ekadashi and he told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, should we eat this, should we not eat this, what should we do? So many technical things he had asked. And Prabhupada's letter reply was, I am telling you all a very simple thing. Just chant Hare Krishna, remember Krishna, do devotional service. Why are you getting all these complicated things? Why are you simply wasting your time in thinking about so many technical details? Just focus on practicing Krishna consciousness. So through that letter also, we can see Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that we have to increase our Krishna consciousness. And we are the best example in history of this, of a person who was completely confused, perplexed, bewildered. And then because of Krishna consciousness, he became peaceful. And that example is of Tapan Mishra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to East Bengal, he was defeating all scholars and he was also telling them, you should chant Hare Krishna. He was not doing public Sankirtan, but at the same time, he was telling everyone, you should chant Hare Krishna. In that purport also, Srila Prabhupada writes that we Hare Krishna devotees also can defeat all scholars. Yet, the main business and occupation of a preacher is not to defeat people. We must simultaneously introduce Hare Krishna chanting everywhere. That is the main thing. So therefore, Krishna consciousness has to be of paramount importance. When Srila Prabhupada was in Chennai, these Smartha Brahmins, they will not practice devotional service, but they think they are experts, they know everything. So they were criticizing Prabhupada. They are saying, they said, Swamiji, what is this? Your disciples are all chanting Hare Krishna, this Maha Mantra, they don't even know how to chant properly. They are chanting Ramo, and their Sanskrit pronunciation is so bad. So Prabhupada didn't smash them. Prabhupada didn't fight with them. Prabhupada said, yes, you are right. We don't know how to pronounce. We are not good. Therefore, we have come to you. You teach us. But as you are teaching us, at least chant Hare Krishna. This was Prabhupada's humility, his mood, that no problem. There's no point defeating them and convincing them. Prabhupada said, you chant Hare Krishna. That is more important. Develop Krishna consciousness. And then in East Bengal, when Mahaprabhu went as Nimai Pandit, there were thousands of scholars who came. Mahaprabhu defeated all of them. There was one man who was completely confused. This was Tapan Mishra. Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, Chitte Brahma Hoy, Sadhya Sadhana, Sreshtana, Hoye Nishchay. Why was he confused? Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya. He read so many scriptures. He went into so much detail of understanding the absolute truth through Neiti, Neiti and analysis and knowledge. Chitte Brahma Hoy. He got completely bewildered. Sadhya Sadhana, Sreshtana. What is Sadhya? What is Sadhana? He couldn't understand. So therefore, in that purpose, Srila Prabhupada comments that if we also become like this, if we become ambitious and we study so many books with an intention that I want worldly reputation, then two problems will happen. First is, because we are interested in becoming a scholar and trying to acquire a lot of knowledge, we will not be able to fix mind on Krishna. First problem. Second problem is, now because we are reading so many scriptures, we will eventually not understand the scriptures also. Because we will get confused because we are reading so many things. So we will get more confused because we are reading so many contradictory things. Therefore, both ways there is loss. Neither will we experience Krishna consciousness, nor will we materially become really intelligent. When Srila Prabhupada was in Philadelphia in July 1975, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was pursuing his PhD in Templeton University. And he brought his professor, Dr. Yogesh Patel, to meet Prabhupada. Dr. Yogesh Patel was a professor of Hinduism. He came with his two of his students. And he was a very arrogant scholar. He was simply talking to Prabhupada in a very condescending tone, showing his superiority. So he said, Swamiji, Prabhupada asked him, so you are a professor of Hinduism? What is Hinduism? And very arrogantly he said, I don't know, you tell me what is Hinduism. Now Prabhupada was not the one to simply comply with this arrogant stance. So Prabhupada turned to his disciple, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, and said, what do you call a person who is teaching something but doesn't know what it is? Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj said, Prabhupada, such a person is called cheater. So Prabhupada said, so Professor Yogesh Patil, our scientist is saying that one who is teaching but doesn't know what he is teaching is a cheater. He got very angry. He said, I'm telling you, you tell me. Prabhupada said, I'm not your servant. If you want to know, you should first bow down. If I bow down, now you tell me. I already bowed down when I entered. So Prabhupada said, that is also not sufficient. You have to be my disciple. You have to first shave up like all my disciples. Then I will tell you. Now then the argument became heated. He was shouting. And then Prabhupada, then he said, what is the essence of Hinduism? Prabhupada said, essence of Hinduism is sarva dharman parityajya, surrender to Krishna. So he said, what is surrender? He challenged again. Prabhupada said, you don't know what is surrender? Get my dictionary. He told Brahmananda Prabhu. So this Dr. Patel said, no, no, I don't want to know the meaning of surrender. I want to know the etymological meaning. What does actually the word mean? Prabhupada said, you are not looking for a guru, you are looking for a Sanskrit teacher. We can't waste our time. You can get lost. So this, and he started shouting. And then Brahmananda Swami was huge. He came to Dr. Patel and said, I think, Professor, you should leave now. And he left. And all the devotees looked at Ravindra Swarup Prabhu in a very, they were very upset that how could he get such a professor? So, and the whole night Ravindra Swarup Prabhu could not sleep because he was feeling, why I bought such a rascal professor? And next morning he prepared an apology, went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm very sorry, I bought such a nasty person to meet you. Prabhupada was surprised. He said, oh, that person, okay, okay, no problem. In a very quiet satisfaction, Prabhupada said, that is okay, at least he got nicely chastised. So, no problem. So Prabhupada is revealing how through these academic pursuits and pursuing of jnana and simply speculation, one only becomes proud and more confused. For this was Tapan Mishra's situation. Chitte Brahma Hoy. He was completely bewildered. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur also says that the worst thing is not only our attention gets diverted from pure devotional service because we are pursuing so many other books, but the worst thing is innocent people like Tapan Mishra, they also get misled and they get confused. However, Tapan Mishra was a recipient of Lord's causeless mercy. In the dream, one Brahmana came to him and told him that you should go and take shelter of Nimai Pandit. And next morning, he came and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Tapan Mishra's surrender. Prabhu Tushtaha Na Sadhya Sadhana Kohila Nama Sankirtana Karo Upadesha Koila. The Lord was very satisfied that he surrendered. And in great satisfaction, Mahaprabhu told him, Nama Sankirtana Karo Upadesha Koila. This is my instruction and advice, that simply chant Hare Krishna. Don't pursue all these nonsense pursuits. And there again, Prabhupada writes, our Krishna consciousness movement is based on this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we should fix our mind on chanting Hare Krishna, and we should not introduce, Prabhupada says, I simply ask my students that you please chant Hare Krishna, but they are introducing all austere elements and creating confusion. So then Tapan Mishra was given this benefit, and later on Kaviraj Goswami says, this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's speciality. Whenever he went to Bengal, he made everyone devotees. Yehi mata bangera loker kela mahahita Namadiya Bhakta Kaila Padana Pandita. Jai Shri Shada Gopinath ki. That when he went to Bengal, he did the greatest welfare, Kaila Mahahita. What Mahahita Lord Chaitanya did? Namadiya Bhakta Kaila. He made everybody devotees, gave them the holy name, and also made them scholars. So Prabhupada says, we are also doing that. We are also giving holy name by Rinam Sankirtan. And we are also making people scholars by giving our books. That's what Prabhupada says, we should do both, book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan. We can make everybody devotees as well as rise scholars. There is no problem. And then he gives the most important instruction. He writes, most important is that we, the members of ISKCON, must practice this book distribution and Sankirtan in a very humble state of consciousness. only when we are humble, then the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be fulfilled, of inundating the whole world with Harinam Sankirtan. For this is the first benefit we get from devotional service, that is, we become free from perplexities and confusions, and this has to be practiced with humility. Now, Sukhdev Goswami, he continues that it is not simply freedom from perplexities that happens when we practice devotional service. Another very interesting thing happens. In the next verse, he says, Tenatmanatmanam upeti shantam anandamanandamayo vasane etam gatim bhagavatim gatoya savai punarneha visajjatenga. So when we practice devotional service, first thing is we get shanta, peace. Tenatmanatmanam upeti shantam. Three things he says. First is shant, peace. But some Mayavadi might say, I am also peaceful. So he says, not simply peace, shantam anandam. Peace is from negative coming to zero. But anandam is satisfaction, which is little positive. But Sukhdev Goswami says, anandam anandamayo vasane. There is another stage higher than satisfaction, and that is bliss. That is ecstasy. Therefore, when we practice devotional service, we not only come from negative to zero, but we also go to the positive stage of ecstatic devotional service. And then, etam gatim bhagavatim, we go to Krishna's abode. And savai punar neha visajjatenga, we don't have to come back to this material world. Whereas a person who meditates on Brahman and is an impersonalist, he always carries this risk of falling down and coming back to this material world. Whereas a devotee, savai punar neha visajjatenga, he goes back to Krishna's abode. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes in great detail, he compares this gatim bhagavatim with gatim Brahman. Somebody going to Brahman and somebody going to Krishna. So this is the second point, that how devotional service leads to ecstasy. It leads to bliss and unending happiness. So first point, Sukhdev Goswami has explained, is that it frees us from entanglements. Second, ecstasy. Of course, a devotee might say, I am practicing devotional service for so many years, but I am not in ecstasy. I don't experience ecstatic symptoms. So this query, Srila Prabhupada answers in the purport. He says, this experience of ecstasy is not easy in devotional service, especially for impure devotees who have aspirations other than pure devotional service. That is, they have a desire to be rich, famous, or great, etc. So Prabhupada says, when we have, Prabhupada uses a phrase here for pure devotional service. He says, labor of love. When there is a labor of love, that is an endeavor to please the lovable object, that is Krishna, then we can experience that happiness and that bliss in Krishna consciousness. We can see Srila Prabhupada, when he got a letter from Govinda Dasi in Hawaii, that Prabhupada, you come to Hawaii. Prabhupada was going to Russia at that time. She said, this is mango season. We have plenty of nice mangoes. Prabhupada said, preaching is more sweeter than the tastes of mangoes. That means Prabhupada is experiencing so much ecstasy in devotional service. In 1977 July, when doctors said he has only 2 weeks more to live, and Prabhupada could not even walk 5 steps. That time Prabhupada told his disciples in Vrindavan that let us go to London for Rath Yatra. And he actually went to London. So who could take such risks or such kind of troubles in devotional service? Only one who is in ecstasy, one who is experiencing an inner volcano of ecstasy erupting from the core of his heart. Therefore, the main point that is emphasized here is two things. We have discussed two points, that is, Sukhdev Goswami says devotional service will free us from entanglements, and secondly, it will also give us ecstasy. But to experience both, the two things that Prabhupada writes in the purports are, one has to practice devotional service with humility, and secondly, with the desire and focus on giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. When that is the focus, we have to be happy by default, because yata taror mula nishechanena. So this is the secret that Prabhupada is revealing. So in this way, when we practice Krishna consciousness, Sukadeva Goswami says, the third thing also happens. That is, spiritual life becomes very easy and very auspicious to perform. Nayatavanya Shiva Pantha Vishata Samsrita Vihya Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhave. He declares that, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, there is no more auspicious and easier path, Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhave, than devotional service. Because Vishata Samsrita Vihya, devotional service will help us get freedom from material life, and it is the most easiest path. And then he says, this is not my verdict. Of course, I have realized this. He says also in the first chapter that I have myself realized that Bhakti Yoga is the best path. But my father has said this, Vyasadeva, and his grand spiritual master, Brahmaji, has declared it openly. And the Vedas have said, and then he also says that Lord Krishna is saying that this is the best path. We will find in the second canto a very interesting conversation between Brahma and Narad Muni. And Brahmaji is instructing Narad Muni. He also gives a very nice example to explain this point, how devotional service is the best path. He says, for a devotee who is sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, for him to sit and do speculation and try to understand the absolute truth through other paths is just like Indra, King Indra, being thirsty, and to quench his thirst, he decides to dig a well. If Indra decides to dig a well to quench his thirst, that is a ridiculous affair, Prabhupada says, because Indra is controlling all the clouds and rain. So similarly, Prabhupada says, a devotee, he is practicing Krishna consciousness. He is in direct connection with Krishna. He doesn't have to worry about digging the mind, Prabhupada says, through speculation and understanding what is right, what is wrong. And the next following verses, Sukadeva Goswami emphasizes that the key point is Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. We have to develop attraction for Krishna. For therefore, this is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. People practice many paths, but they might be appreciated for their austerities. But a Vaishnava will never be known for how much he has controlled his senses. Vaishnava is always known for how much he remembers Krishna or how much attraction he develops for Krishna. Therefore, we have some spiritual organizations, where I know one sect, where people fast for 14 days. We don't fast like that. But their idea is, body is like a machine. In a factory, machine has to be given some rest. And it has to be, there has to be overhauling. So body is fit. That's why we fast. Whereas a devotee fasts for the pleasure of Krishna. He wants to engage in hearing and chanting and give pleasure to Krishna's senses. That is the purpose of a devotee's fasting. So our process is not a process of austerity as much as it is a process of developing attraction for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was in Vishakhapatnam one time, and they were on a morning walk, and Gurudas Prabhu would always accompany Prabhupada in the morning walk. But on that particular day, Prabhupada left a little early, and Gurudas Prabhu didn't have time to put on his shoes. So he came running, and they were going through the beach, and there were some stones. So he was wobbling along, the stones were hitting his leg, he was uncomfortable. Prabhupada saw his discomfort, and Prabhupada said, Gurudas, you have not put on shoes? And Gurudas Prabhu very broadly smiled and said, Prabhupada, when I am with you, there is no austerity. Prabhupada became grave, and Prabhupada said, if there is no austerity, then why don't you cut your throat if there is no pain? And everybody laughed. Prabhupada said, there is enough austerity in Krishna consciousness. Don't create your own. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we are practicing this path and following the regulative principles, and mainly endeavoring to develop our dormant loving attraction for Krishna. And in that purpose, Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, and they write very clearly that Bhakti Yoga is not only easy, simple, natural, free from trouble, but also the only source of happiness for human beings. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami has given us three points about devotional service. First, he said it frees us from entanglements. Secondly, ecstasy. And thirdly, it's triple E, easy to remember. Entanglements, secondly, ecstasy, and also easy to perform. Now, Sukhdev Goswami concludes this chapter and this whole section by giving us the qualification to practice this devotional service, how we can practice and how we can develop our attraction for Krishna. Pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam katamritam shavana puteshu samritam punantite vishaya vidushita shayam vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. One has to drink Krishna katha, pibanti. And how should we drink? Katamritam shavana puteshu samritam. Through our ear holes, the nectarine Krishna katha must enter. And then, punantite vishaya vidushitashayam. All the material contamination from the heart will go away. Vrajanti tat charana saroruhantikam. We will go back to Krishna. We will develop our attraction for Krishna. And here again, Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, who says, the real sin is we don't love Krishna. We want to be the enjoyer. And as we hear more and more about Krishna, our desire to be the enjoyer will go down. And thus, we will become happy. Of course, in the last paragraph of this purport, in this chapter, Prabhupada scares us by saying that first he says, it is simple, just hear Krishna Katha, you will go back to Godhead. But then he says, however, despite practicing devotional service, if we do not experience any purification of heart, then you should know that you are a pseudo-devotee. And then Prabhupada says, for such an imposter, there is no freedom from anxiety and suffering. It's a heavy statement. Prabhupada says, we should not be a pseudo-devotee, a person in the garb of a devotee. That is why we see, this is the second chapter, the second canto. The third chapter becomes more intense because we have to give up these pseudo-devotee tendencies. So that's why Shaunaka Rishi is hearing this from Suta Goswami. He becomes very excited and he says, my dear Suta Goswami, go on narrating more and more. He is expressing his eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. And because he is also, and in all these prayers that he is offering to Suta Goswami, he is emphasizing on the quality of our devotional service. We have in Kunti's section also, Prabhupada writing there, that chanting and hearing is not simply sufficient. There has to be a quality to that utterance also. That is the statement Prabhupada writes. So therefore, second chapter of the second canto is called as Lord in the Heart, because Sukhdev Goswami has described how the Lord is there in the heart. But the third chapter now, that is called as Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. So here the emphasis is how one has to take shelter of Krishna and depend on Krishna. So if you are chanting in a very quote and unquote cool way, and people say life is cool. We are chanting in great, Prabhupada writes there, if you are chanting the Krishna, if you are chanting Krishna's names in great satisfaction, then we will not be able to take shelter of Krishna. We have to call out helplessly. Therefore, Shaunaka Rishi, when he is requesting Suta Goswami, he says, Tadashma saram hridayam vatedam yad griyamaner harinam dehe na vikriyetartha yada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. He says, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, if there are no tears in the eyes, then our heart is steel framed. If our hairs don't stand on end, that means we have no devotional service. So, main point emphasized is, one has to take shelter of Krishna and depend on Krishna. But this dependence will not come automatically. Because if we are very comfortable and we are having very high estimation about our own devotional qualities, then it is very difficult to depend and take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, the second and more important point here is, one has to recognize his fallen condition. So when one recognizes how fallen he is, and how he is dependent on mercy of Krishna, then it becomes easy to practice devotional service. And then one can experience the ecstasy. Then one can take shelter of Krishna. We have Yudhishthir Maharaj's example. Yudhishthir Maharaj was once told by Dronacharya. Even Duryodhan was told, Yudhishthir Maharaj, go and see if you find someone who is inferior to you. And Duryodhan was told, go and find out if somebody is better than you. And this was instruction was given on a Ekadashi. And during those days, every Ekadashi people were practicing Nirjal. So Yudhishthira Maharaj went out that day and he saw one man was drawing water from the well. And Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, why is he drawing water? Doesn't he know today is Ekadashi? So he judged this person. He went and told him that, why are you drawing water? He said, I'm not drawing for myself, but for my cows. Immediately Yudhishthira Maharaj became very guilty. He felt very sad. He said, oh, I judged him. So I am the most sinful. So he didn't even search further. He came back and he said, I am the most fallen. There is no one more fallen than me. And Duryodhana also said that. He said, there is nobody better than me. So through this pastime, Yudhishthira Maharaj's consciousness was that I am fallen. And we see the Pandavas, even Kunti Devi, she is saying in her prayers that I cannot know you, Krishna. Katam pashyema hi striya. I have no qualification. Yet the same lady, Kunti Devi, she is offering the most wonderful prayers to Krishna. And she is expressing how she is completely dependent on Krishna. Apyadyanastvam swakrite hita prabho jihasasi sve suhurdo nujivina esham na chanyat bhavata padambuja parayanam rajasuyojitam hasam. She says, Krishna, now you are going away. In that purport, Prabhupada says, Kunti Devi is feeling like a fish out of water. She is feeling intense thunderbolt of separation from Krishna because she is anticipating that Krishna will now leave Hastinapur and go back to Dwarka. For she, her only agenda is somehow stop Krishna. So she is saying, Krishna, you have now fulfilled your duty and now you are thinking, yeah, I have done my duty, let me go back. But let me tell you, I am right now most dependent on you. This is ironical. In material world, when we get something from Krishna, then we depend more on those things, those assets. And our dependence on Krishna reduces when we get some qualification or some asset. But Kunti Devi here has got the whole kingdom and she is feeling, no, I want Krishna. So she is helplessly taking shelter of Krishna. And she is saying, Eshamna chanyat bhavata padam bhujat. I have no other shelter other than your lotus feet. And that purport is one of the most beautiful purports. Prabhupada talks how in material world, if you are dependent on someone, that is considered to be a very disgraceful thing. But in Krishna consciousness, to be dependent on Krishna is the greatest qualification. He gives the example of Pandavas. How Pandavas were not idle parasites. They were very hardworking, but they were completely dependent on Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada says in the purport that one has to become Sanat, not Anath. One becomes Anath, orphan, when he rejects the shelter of Krishna. So this is the teachings of Kunti Devi. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you see his lifestyle, any karmi or a jnani will feel ashamed because the kind of books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur have written and the kind of hard work he has done, nobody can match. But the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his prayers are full of this mood of being very fallen and taking shelter of Krishna. He says in one prayer, how I have been entangled in material life since time immemorial. E vishaya hala hale dibanishi hiya jale. I have been drinking this poison of worldly existence since time immemorial. And I have been bound by not one or two desires, but unlimited desires. Asha pasha shata shata klesha deya avirata. And the worst thing is, pravriti urmira tene khela. My desire to enjoy is becoming more and more. And my kama, krodha, all these things are increasing, Krishna. I am certainly going to be finished. And then in utter helplessness, he says, it is not that I have not taken shelter. I have taken shelter in life, he says. But what shelter I have taken? He says, jnana karma thagadui. More pratariyaloi avasheshe phele sindhu jale. He says, I took shelter of two rogues, jnana and karma. Jnana, karma, thaga, dui. They are highway robbers. They have caught me by my neck. More pratariyaloi avasheshe phele sindhu jale. They have thrown me into this ocean of misery. I am suffering there. So I am completely helpless. I have no shelter. I am suffering because I took shelter of these two rogues. Actually, if we simply open our eyes and see in this world, we can see how we are completely helpless. We can do nothing. People are so proud of their technological advancement, but our utter helplessness can be seen by something like a tiny tsunami. Tsunami was heavy, but compared to the whole material world, tsunami is nothing. And this tsunami wave which attacked a few years back, it is said that the whole southwest of that Sumatra island, it moved by 20 meters. And that tsunami, that underground earthquake, was, it seems, 40,000 times more powerful. The energy created was 40,000 times more than the energy created by the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So powerful it was. And we know how there was crores and crores of rupees worth of devastation. People were completely finished. And it is said that the planet Earth itself wobbled on its axis. And the duration of day has also changed by some microseconds. Such was the impact. So anytime anything can happen in this material world, we have no shelter in this material world. Last year we were in Dhanushkoti for our yatra. And we saw at that point, three oceans are meeting, and we can see the complete insignificance of a living entity. Three oceans are meeting, Bay of Bengal, Arabian Sea, Indian Ocean. And the most amazing thing was that whole place was a town at one time, Rameshwaram. There was a proper city, proper town. There were movie theaters, there were gardens, people were playing. Everything was going on nice. There were railway station. And suddenly one evening in 1964, a huge wave comes, cyclone comes, and everything is over in a few minutes. There's only sand there. Sand and water, that's all. And there is one overhead tank, which is an indication that there was a railway station and a water tank. Imagine, it is like, we also have a railway station, Churchgate or VT. Imagine there's only a water tank remaining. There is no metro cinema theater. There is no oval cricket maidan. So only water and sand everywhere. It's possible. Material world is a very nasty place. And we have no shelter. We have no hope. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Avasheshe phele sindhu jale. I have been thrown into this ocean of suffering. At such a time, I have no hope but you, O Krishna. He no samaye bandhu, tumi Krishna kripa sindhu, kripa koro loho more bole. At such a time, who is my bandhu? Who is my friend? Eno samaye bandhu. Tumi Krishna kripa sindhu. Oh Krishna, you are my friend and you are kripa sindhu. You are ocean of mercy. Right now, I am suffering in the ocean of misery. But you are ocean of mercy. Kripa karo loho more bole. You have the strength. So pick me up from this ocean of misery and place me as an atom, an insignificant particle at your lotus feet in this ocean of mercy. Pachita kinkara dhuri dhuli pada padma kori deho bhakti vinod ashray. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is begging the Lord that give me shelter, let me depend on you. And therefore when a devotee is completely dependent on Krishna and takes shelter of Krishna, he is free from all these perplexities and anxieties and his life becomes very peaceful. We have the example a few years back, there was this lady, Maureen from St. Louisiana. She was implicated in so many crimes that she was sentenced to 140 years of imprisonment. So in the prison, after having spent 25-30 years, she came across Prabhupada's books and she became a devotee. And she was desperate to take shelter of Krishna more. And at that time, Chandramouli Maharaj, Veer Krishna Maharaj, they met her, they preached to her. And eventually, in the jail, she would sit and make garlands for deities. She would chant, she would preach. And she also took initiation. She became Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Devi Dasi. And then she expressed a desire to Veer Krishna Maharaj, who gave her initiation, that I want to serve Krishna. I've been freed from all these sinful reactions. My sinful life is now history because I've got shelter of Krishna and Guru. So she said, I want to serve Krishna. I want to be in the temple. And he told her, don't worry, Krishna will take care. And a few days later, she got a letter from the government saying that you are free. You can go back home. And she joined the temple and she is serving there. So we can see a classic example of someone who takes shelter of Krishna is completely freed from all suffering, anxiety and misery. Therefore, to conclude today's class, we discussed today first how Jnanakanda speculation is useless compared to Bhakti Yoga, because these other paths, they massage our false ego. They make us feel that we are very special. Whereas devotional service, Krishna shows us the mirror. He reveals to us that we are not really special. He exposes us to our own motivations. And then we discuss Sukadeva Goswami's explanation in the second canto, how devotional service has three powerful benefits, that is three E's. That is, first is, it frees us from entanglements. And this can happen only when Prabhupada says, we practice humility, as in the case of Tapan Mishra. Second E, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about, is ecstasy. Our Prabhupada says, this ecstasy can be affected only when our focus is to give pleasure to Krishna. And third is, devotional service is most auspicious and easy. And that can happen only when we exclusively depend on Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, as revealed by prayers of Kunti and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when we practice devotional service like that, then irrespective of who we are, we become dear to Krishna. A few months back, one of our very regular congregation members, he left his body, Sanatan Muni Prabhu. He was an old man. He was coming to temple every day in the morning for Mangalarti. And after Bhagavatam class, he would go. And even on the day he left his body, he was there. And that evening, he left his body. And then a few days later, Radhanath Maharaj spoke on his memorial. And he made a very interesting point. He said, Sanatan Muni Prabhu is just like the squirrel in Ramayana. Somebody might be doing a lot of devotional service, like a monkey soldier carrying huge rocks and boulders. But Sanatan Muni Prabhu was like a squirrel who was carrying pebbles. But that effort was also pleasing to Krishna. In fact, Maharaj said, his coming to temple every day for Mangalarati was as pleasing, if not more, than a person's 20 years of hard effort in devotional service. Because his consciousness was to take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, Maharaj said, Gopinath was waiting for him every morning. When will he come? When will he come? So we can see that when a devotee practices sincere devotional service, he becomes dear to Krishna, and there is no need of all speculative kind of theories. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Extended story about performing more austerities. He was not performing austerities, right?
I'm sorry?
He was just walking without shoes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that one should not increase one's standard in devotional life. So, what is your point in this regard?
Yes, definitely. One has to increase his commitment to Krishna consciousness. And our principle Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us is Anukulasya Sankalpa, Pratikulasya Varjanam. So if our accepting of more and more austerities is conducive to becoming better devotees and increasing our remembrance and attachment to Krishna, then we should very gladly accept. Like, if a devotee practices Krishna consciousness for some more years, then he becomes very sukshma, he becomes very careful about small, small things. It's very important. Like, when we are new, we might eat anything from anywhere, or we might chant also sleeping. And devotees encourage us, no problem. We at least some more chant. But as we practice for some more time, we become more and more refined and we become super sensitive to outside influences. And at that time, we have to be very careful. Just like a person might be jogging morning, somebody is not healthy and he wants to reduce weight. He might just run. And he runs wearing any shoes, or he might even run on chappals. Nobody says anything. And you have a different mind. But as he becomes a better runner and he discovers that he's a good athlete and he competes in Olympics, if he's competing in Olympics, he cannot just put on Jai Shri Shada Gopina Ji Ki, Jai Gopal Ji Ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Chandra Ki. So as a devotee, as a person is now competing in Olympics and he's becoming better and better, that time he will be very sensitive to the sweatbands he's wearing, the shoes, the viscosity of the shoes. He becomes very fine. Similarly, devotee, as he's advancing, he becomes very careful of choosing those things which are conducive for devotional service. And he becomes very careful in his eating habits, sleeping habits, waking habits, his association. So one has to be very careful about his devotional service. Thank you, Prabhu, for raising that point. Do we have?
In the starting you told that by other paths material desire don't go, but coming in pure devotional service that material desire goes. But as a practicing devotee we see that even though we are sincerely trying to practice devotional service, but material desires don't go. So where is the problem and what should we do so that material desires can go?
Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives us example that when we clean the room, before we clean the room, there is so much kachra. And if somebody comes and dumps one bucket of kachra more, we feel there is no problem. But once you start cleaning the room, then all the dirt starts flying up. And then we start feeling the room is so dirty. Before coming to Hare Krishna movement, most of us didn't know that we have material desires. We always felt that I'm a very nice person. The very fact that we feel I'm lusty, I'm envious, I'm greedy, I'm having so many anartha, that means the process is working. That means we are aware how dirty our heart is, how dirty the room is. That means the cleaning is going on nice. So therefore Rupa Goswami says two things. Utsaha nishchaya. We have to be enthusiastic to clean the room, but at the same time, be patient. It's not going to happen overnight. So as we continue the cleaning process, if a person abandons cleaning the room in the middle of the cleaning, saying that it's so dirty, it's so suffocating, then that endeavor is waste. Better to patiently carry on cleaning, and once the whole room is clean, then you feel happy. Similarly, we have to continue cleaning. For this phase is called as Anartha Nivritti, which Satsvarup Maharaj calls as Anartha Nivritti is a vast intermediate zone. So we have come to Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and this Anartha Nivritti is a long phase where our anarthas are getting churned and Krishna is revealing to us. So we have to tolerate. And also, this is one thing. Secondly, we have to also work on it. It's not that we should have a complacency that, okay, Krishna will do it. But we have to work on removing these desires by associating devotees, hearing about Krishna Katha, and constantly endeavoring. Okay, let's stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Nitai Gaur Premanande.